brings great joy to our hearts to testify to these kinds of truths and to sing about the reality of what God is doing in our lives. What we sing on the Lord's Day really ought to be an expression of how we talk the rest of the week. We put it to music, we have instruments, but the truths that we're singing about, the experience that we're living out as believers is something that goes on 7 days a week and really needs to be coming from our mouths, from our hearts all week long. So we've been talking about testifying for the Lord. We often are silent when we ought not be. We often hold the blessings of God in our hearts and in our lives, and we don't share it with other people. And so we've been talking about ways to do that, the kinds of things that we ought to be talking about. Last time when we were together, we looked at testifying to God's sanctifying work through His Word, and we used Psalm 119 to guide us, at least a portion of that. And we saw in verses 25 to 32 this desire for the good life, that good life being life for my frailty, correction of my ways, perception of God's guidance, strength for my sorrow, grace to avoid false paths. I mean, the life that any of us would want as believers. And then devotion to the good life, the psalmist declares on the basis of how God is using the Word in his life, declares how he's going to make that Word part of his life. He says, I'll meditate on God's amazing works. I'll cling to God's testimonies. I'll run according to God's commandments. These are the kinds of commitments that we've got to be making individually and as a group to God's Word. And part of doing that is testifying to what God's Word is doing in our lives. However God revives us and corrects and directs and strengthens and rescues you is important for you to pass on to others, because they face the same trials, they have the same needs. So there ought not be a week that goes by, and maybe not even a day, where you're not passing on some kind of blessing from the Word to another brother and sister in Christ. So the communion of the saints that we enjoy expresses itself more than just when we celebrate the Lord's table. It shows up in everyday life, and we need to be talking about it. One of those topics is the Word, but also one of those topics is how God is using other people in our lives. And we want to talk about that, looking at a couple passages from the book of Philippians, as Paul kind of guides us through what it looks like when we testify to God's sanctifying work through his people. So we're going to drop down into Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. Follow with me as I read. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I've thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and fellow worker, fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. Epaphroditus was from this church, and he had come with a gift for Paul and to encourage him while he's under house arrest. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. And then we move on a little later in the letter to Philippians 4, 10 through 20, to see how he kind of wraps this up. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need. The church had sent a gift, and so he's thanking them for the gift. He doesn't want them to think that Had they not sent it, he would have never made it, because, you know, God has taken care of him. It is not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content, independent of the circumstances. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret, been trained in this, of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, that's that northern Greece area, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul demonstrates for us that when we testify to how God has used others in our lives, and think about it, the great apostle is talking about people that have made a difference in his life. When we testify to this, we, first off, glorify God for his work through them. Second, we give fitting love, honor, and encouragement to them. And third, we increase our own gratitude, humility, courage, faith, and joy. In other words, the result of this testifying is Godward, it's outward to others, and it actually helps us. It is to be commended among the saints, to be testifying to God's work through his people in our lives. Consider with me first that we glorify God for his work when we testify to what he's doing through these other people. We glorify God for his work through them. We see it at the end of the book. In verse 18, I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Now, this is a gift to Paul, but look at the way he talks about it. It wasn't just a gift to Paul. It was a gift to God, an offering, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Now, think about that just a little bit. Think about how when you serve the needs of others, you, as it were, show worship to God. You glorify God. You show God's work in your life. And then he turns that and says, my God will supply every need of yours. In other words, you've made sacrificial offering here, and the Philippian church was not a wealthy church. Macedonia was not a wealthy area. They suffered persecution from the beginning, and yet they took the lead on their generosity. And they were able to do that because they had full confidence in God continuing to supply their need. And that's exactly what Paul talks about. And so God gets glory in multiple ways here. He gets glory because they're displaying the love of God to others in a sacrificial way. And he gets glory because he's going to supply their need. And so he says, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. It's these kinds of actions, this kind of ministry that honors God, that shows the compassion and love of God, that shows the generosity of God, that shows God's supply of all our needs. So Paul praises God, you know, not just for the character and work of Timothy and Epaphroditus back in chapter 2, but for all the brothers and sisters in Christ that he has at the church in Philippi. This church kept close contact with Paul over the years, and in what we read, we learned that time and again, they stepped forward to aid him in his missionary endeavors, and now to help him during his imprisonment. How easy it would be for him to feel shut away and cut off from everybody, and yet they're reaching out to him. And think about how much more difficult that was in his day than it is in ours, to reach out to somebody over those many miles and do something about their need. Their doing so made clear their heart for Paul, and Paul doesn't bypass it. He doesn't ignore it. In fact, in all of his letters, he frequently pours out gratitude for the people in his life. He often names them and lists specifically what they have done. It's not just in this church, but but in many others. This is the heart of Paul. This is the heart of a believer that understands how God uses other people. Paul is as amazing as we might consider him to be, and he was extraordinary, and he is extraordinary, nonetheless understood that he lived in community. He understood that he did his work not only in the power of God, but because of the aid of other believers. He understands that this expression of body life among God's people is a God thing. Now, this is so far removed from the spectator, ceremonial kind of religion that so often is characterized what calls itself Christianity. These are brothers and sisters in Christ hanging together through thick and thin and doing whatever needs to be done to meet the needs. And so testifying to this work is acknowledging that God is at work in the body of Christ. I mean, you can put on a religious show. You can do a service order. You can practice. You can have gifted people do their thing. But when brothers and sisters in Christ live this way, what you see is the actual work of God in them. You see God's love displayed. And by bringing attention to it, Paul puts on display the unity of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit in us. We show gratitude for the gracious transforming power of God at work in the lives of other believers. And when we testify to it, we honor the Lord. It honors the Lord to honor those who honor him. And the reverse is also true. It dishonors him to do otherwise. If we're sniping at one another or withholding praise, we show ignorance and dishonesty and ingratitude for how Christ actually is using others in our lives. You know, it's nothing like, think about giving some kind of expensive or costly gift to somebody and they receive it and don't say anything. Maybe you've left it at their doorstep. Maybe you've mailed it and you never hear a word from them. Well, what does that communicate? I mean, it communicates, well, they didn't like it. You know, it's like those homemade socks that Aunt Matilda sends at Christmas time or something like that. Or maybe somebody stole it, or maybe they don't like you and they wish you would go away. The expression of gratitude, testifying to it, actually demonstrates the appropriate response. So let me ask you this evening, how are you doing on this? When you feel grateful, when you notice the work of other believers in your life, what are you doing with that? Are you sharing that with anybody? What would it take for you to make this actually a regular feature of how you live your life? Understanding that this glorifies God. That's the main reason you're alive, right? That's the main reason we're created. This glorifies God to do this. Consider how such testimony would augment your worship of God. If you were always taking note of how God was at work in other people and how you're benefiting from it, think about making room for this kind of praiseworthy focus, this praiseworthy thinking, and then dumping the toxic stuff that's so easy to think about instead. Let the power of this new affection expressed drive out the bad thinking and the bad talking. You know, we've only got so much time. We've got only so many words that we can say. So many hours in our life. Why waste it gossiping? Why waste it tearing other people down? Why not use it to glorify God by testifying to what other people are doing in your life? Second, we see that when we testify to what God is doing through other people in our life, we give fitting love, honor, and encouragement to them. Look at the way Paul talks about these men. I mean, we probably would know very little about them but for Paul. He says of Timothy in verses 20 and 22, I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. What kind of person is Timothy? Well, ask Paul. This kind, he's unique. He's extraordinary in his genuine care for other people, and particularly for this church. In verse 22, you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served me in the gospel. Do you talk about anybody that way? Would you share that with other people? Verse 25, Epaphroditus, I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Look at the way Paul describes him. My brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, he's got guts, and your messenger and minister to my need. And then as he anticipates Epaphroditus going to be with him, so receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. In other words, he did what you couldn't do. He was your emissary. He filled in the gap. He's an extraordinary man. He risked his life to do it. Honor him. Honor him. God's people are constantly subjected to the praise of achievements and position and worldly success, things that don't really matter. Is it any wonder that sometimes they're tempted to crave the empty dreams with little heart for faithful service to the Lord? We honor what we truly value. And of all the people we should value, it should be those who faithfully serve Christ and his people at great cost to themselves. Who are they in your life? There is such a thing as a holy recklessness in living for Christ. Those that are always playing it safe miss out on what could be theirs to enjoy and to accomplish in the Lord. And when you find one of those reckless people, give them honor. Testify to what God is doing through them in your life. But understand that those who do put their lives on the line this way, they draw strength and they draw encouragement from brothers and sisters in Christ who love and honor them for their sacrificial service. Paul himself would talk about being driven to despair and basically describes, as he talks to the Corinthian believers, of practically dying in the traces because of how difficult it was. That's Paul. In other words, Paul needed this kind of encouragement from other people. It can be a lonely path to serve God in a reckless way. And how many get so discouraged and beat up and worn out that they can't keep going. Help them serve well. Consider the people that serve well, that have served you in your life, and testify to it. Not only thank them, but talk to other people about them. Make it clear. You say, well, they'll get the big head. No, they won't. No, they won't. Not if they're living this way. You give God the glory. You give thanks for how they're paying the price. And what you will do is strengthen their hands for God to get more glory and for there to be more work done. It's a mark of discipleship to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Knowing that you're not alone when you live this way actually strengthens your commitment to keep running the race with endurance. So who is your band of brothers and sisters that you're encouraging? Who are those that you could testify to that have changed your life? Maybe some of them have gone on to glory, but other people need to hear about it. Maybe it's a mom or a dad. Maybe it's a mentor. Maybe it's your next door neighbor. Maybe it's somebody in your life group. But you need to talk about what God is doing through them in their life. This is the scriptural pattern. Third, we increase our own gratitude, humility, courage, and faith, and joy when we live this way. Philippians 4:1, look at the way Paul talks about these people. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Paul's getting pleasure from this. Paul loves this. Paul is encouraged by this, and he loves talking about it. It does something for him to express it. Philippians 4, first part of verse 10, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you've revived your concern for me. You know, when we express our love, when we express our gratitude, it actually increases our love and our gratitude. So here's the irony. When you honor your brothers and sisters in Christ by telling others of their faithfulness and love, you not only express your love for them, but you increase your own joy. It feels good to do this. Now, this you say, well, that's selfish, right? Well, no, it's just saying that when you do the right thing, it feels good. It is a happy thing to praise God It's a blessed thing. Happy is the man. It makes you joyful to praise God. And if you're grumpy, part of your problem probably is that you're not praising God. And it's a happy thing to praise those who serve him. Not only that, it draws public attention in this way to how God is using others in your life, in the lives of others. It helps you have a better picture of how many others are making your life what it is. That's encouraging. You know, it's not just me trying to do this on my own, but look at all these people that are running with me and helping. It spurs you on to do hard things too. It gives you courage to keep doing so. And as such, it strengthens your faith in the God who is at work in your world. Now, what I want you to do during our workshop time, and it's just a short challenge, and you're going to have to chew on this some more. You can pray with me about getting together a booklet that has all these lessons together and so that we've got this and we can really practice this. But we're going to practice this right away. What I'd like you to do right now is to share with one another, person next to you, how another believer strengthened you in a significant way recently. You're going to have 3 minutes. Okay? Now, start. Might take you a minute or so to get your head to where it needs to go, but do the rigors of this. This is working out.